Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, y'all, Sam Sanders here. You are listening to Intuit from Vulture and New York Magazine. There's a new show out on Amazon Prime Video. It's the story of a serial killer. I know, right? Another story about a serial killer. Who wants that? Well, what if I told you in this show, the serial killer is Black. And this Black serial killer is a woman. And she is doing all the killing as an obsessed fan of a fictitious pop star who has an uncanny likeness to Beyoncé. Have I sold you on this show yet?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the start of a new era. This is a reason to celebrate, a reason for festival.
If not, what if I also told you that the idea for this show came from Donald Glover? It's called Swarm.
You're a killer bee. Part of the swarm. Talk about Ninja. You get stung.
Swarm feels smart and subversive, and in general, it's a show that takes a lot of risks, which I think we need more of in TV right now. I also predict that Swarm is going to be a very big deal this year. This week, I talked with Janine Neighbors. She's the co-creator of Swarm and one of the executive producers and writers on the show. She's from Houston, like Beyoncé. They even went to the same high school. Janine's previously worked on FX's Atlanta and Watchmen on HBO. Janine's going to tell me why her new show Swarm leaves you with more questions than answers and why Black women serial killers kind of have a special place in her heart. But we'll start with the pitch. When Donald Glover came to her and said, hey, I have an idea.
Take me back to the day that Donald Glover pitched this idea to you.
Yeah, it was the tail end of season 4 of Atlanta. And then I get this call from Donald one night and I'm thinking it's, you know, about the episode I wrote for season 4. But he's just like, hey, I have this like kind of crazy idea about a super fan. And I really want this to be the show after Atlanta, and I want you to write it. And I was like, what? You know? And so he just kind of pitched that idea. And I, you know, being from Houston and just like having a real relationship, I think, with just being a Black woman and like cutting school to go see people perform, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, this is, I want to tell that story from my hometown.
Okay.
And like, you know, he obviously is someone who is a star in his own right. So he has a very particular relationship with his fans where people try to take ownership of him. So obviously he was coming from this with like his own experience. But I think, you know, it was very clear that we were like, we want to tell this story from a Black woman's perspective. And we really want to kind of write the origin story of a villain. Like that's really at the heart of it, what we knew we were going to do from the very beginning. Like we were like, this woman's going to be a little polarizing and she's not
a little,
a little, you know? And so that is how it started. It really just started with a conversation. And then, you know, because there are real events, whether they be kind of like internet rumors or like real life, you know, we did a lot of research and then just kind of connected the dots in a really, I think a really kind of cool way to tell this story from the perspective of Dominique Fishback's character, Dre, who's from Ailey, Texas, which is where I'm from.
Was there any hesitation on your end? I mean, because the setup of this show is this Black woman super fan also becomes a killer.
You think you're too good for Naja?
No, I don't. Please, I don't.
Then why did you say she couldn't keep a man happy?
I didn't say that. I didn't.
But you did. And I got the receipts.
Nigga. Twitter?
And the pop star she's chasing in the show has a lot of similarities to one of the most revered black pop stars of our time. Were you ever like, Donald, I don't know if this would be good for black Twitter. I don't know if they'll like it. I don't know. Like, was there any hesitation?
No, because I think Donald approaches everything with respect. There are people that shift a culture for black people in a way where it becomes part of our American history. And obviously we know many black women in the world who have done that. And some of them happen to be from my hometown. And that's great. You know what I mean? And so, you know, when we kind of sat down to kind of like tell the story, everyone who is anyone was very much made aware of it and very respectful and very, very, a very thoughtful process, I would say.
Wait, what do you mean by that? People made aware of it. What do you mean?
Well, it's just like, you know, you, when you're black in this industry and you're making a show about music with using kind of like the, there's a lot of people's likeliness in this show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, like we're just casting people that already exist in the world of like Twitter and on the internet and like real stories. Right. So it was a very respectful process.
Okay.
Across the
board. I know some people who know some people who worked on this show and they were like, I bet you Beyonce's already seen it or said okay to it at least. How much of that can you tell me?
Well, I mean, if you look at Donald's relationship with her, like clearly they're tight, you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah. So like, you don't throw your friend under the bus. Like that's not what this show is, you know? And like, and at the end of the day, like we created a whole new world that is like very similar and looks like our world, but is a little bit of like an alt reality a little bit.
Yeah. Let's set up Dre for our listeners. This is the lead played by Dominique Fishback. She is a super fan who becomes violent in her by any means a necessary quest to be close to this pop star.
Mm-hmm.
Describe her in like 30 seconds for listeners.
I would say that she is someone who is deeply misunderstood. I think she is a person who feels connected to two things in her life, and that is her sister, Marissa, and that is the artist, Naija. And they go hand in hand. And the pilot tells the story of that.
We have to meet her one day. Promise me.
We will. I promise.
I think the second she see me, she'd know how it connected. And she'll invite us back to her house for dinner. I could feel it. Think we really get to meet her one day?
If there's anyone crazy enough to meet Naija Hutton, it's you.
But she is a little bit of like of an alien. She's a little bit of a fly on the wall in her own universe.
You going to Vanessa's party Saturday?
Can I come?
You don't drink. You just sit there and watch. It makes me nervous.
Well, I could watch it from some place you can't see me.
She is a little mute at times, and we don't exactly know how she's processing reality or emotion. But we do know that she feels for the music and she feels for her sister. And that is her humanity.
Yeah. There's this quiet to her and this blank stare to her throughout the entire series that is played out perfectly. But how would you describe the emotional state of Dre? It's so quiet.
It is. And I'm not an actor, but Donald is. And I think the way that he was able to kind of speak to Dominique Fishback about the otherness of this character, I think was really beautiful. You know, when Donald and I were really conceiving of this show, we really just were like, we want to tell our own idea of some of these like European films that we've seen in the past, where they're just, these characters are so complicated and nuanced, and we don't know what they're going to do next. And The Piano Teacher is like a tremendous film that we both really, really respect. And it's so wacky and it's so compelling. And you can't stop thinking about the character after you watch it. Like, she sits with you and it's uncomfortable, but it's also like, why am I so uncomfortable by what I just saw this woman do? Which was everything, but also nothing, right? So there is something to, I think, just finding a way to tell that story in like a dynamic lead who does really questionable things, but you still lean in. We wanted to portray a conflicting Black woman on screen who's fighting for another Black woman. And like, what does that look like? That kind of complicated relationship.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it starts out hard. You know, by the end of the first episode, there's violence that Dre exacts. And then it keeps going. Yeah. When you're making a show like this, how do you take into consideration how to ease viewers into it? You know, is there a scenario in which you say, well, if I make the first episode or two episodes too violent, people will stop watching? Do you care?
You know, it's so funny because I love the show Barry. And Barry does not hold the audience's hand when it comes to violence. You know, true. And I think we're so used to seeing white men in film and TV just do the craziest shit. White women too. We really just wanted to shift that perspective and let it be this Black woman, which we have not seen before, and give her that weighted kind of gravity, you know. And it's okay if it makes Black people uncomfortable watching this Black person do this thing, especially to other Black people. But like, we've been seeing this shit for years with white faces. So that's also part of what makes this story, I think, unique. Yeah.
Did you know any Dres growing up? Did you ever feel like a Dre yourself growing up?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I grew up, I'm a dark-skinned girl with a dead right eye. I grew up, I had like a lazy eye when I was little, and I had surgery to kind of have it corrected when I was younger. But yeah, I was like a cross-eyed, dark skin, you know, just wild child in the world, you know. And so my parents were these professionals. You know, my mom was a banker, my dad was an accountant, not rich at all, but they worked hard to get to where they are.
Yeah.
And they were just swimming around a lot of white people, even though I grew up with so many Black people from my family and my life. But, you know, so there's just this weird dynamic, especially when it's Texas in like the 90s, which was very, very, very different. Very different. And when you find, so I remember like seeing Mary J. Blige for the first time when I was in Louisiana hanging out with my family and just being like completely overcome by how beautiful and just like, she was the most beautiful woman I had ever seen in my life. And I just, you know, just to see that as a person who doesn't really see that for themselves, you know what I mean? To look at something and be like, what? That exists? Mm-hmm. Like that.
And also
crazy.
That's on TV and that makes money and that is popular. Wow.
100%. But also just like, just to sing songs about a Black woman rejoicing her Blackness and her like ability to love and be seen as beautiful. Like all of that stuff is wild to me because, you know, and I feel like, again, like Dre, that whole like line of like, you know, when someone compliments you, like your face and you're like, what, like I'm ugly? Like I remember saying that verbatim as a kid, like when I was younger, when people would say like, oh, you have like a really interesting face. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm ugly? Because you just go to that and it's like, no, what is wrong? Like, they're like, you got to look into your soul. And I feel very connected to Dre in the pilot because I know that idea of like just coming out of your own shell. Obviously, I'm not a murderer, but my sister was Marissa. My cousin Dominique was Marissa, and Phaedra, my best friend, was Marissa. Those are the people that like teach you to like, girl, hold your head up high and like, understand that you are powerful.
You look good with makeup. Your face is so versatile.
Like how? Like I'm ugly?
Oh my gosh, learn how to take a compliment. It's a good thing. It means you a snack girl. Own it. Go like that.
And if you set your mind to it, if you really want to see Nyjah, girl, you're going to do that. Janine, if you really want to go to write for TV, you're going to do that. You know what I mean? It's like whatever that kind of, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Time for a break. When we come back, we're going to run through the parallels between Swarm and Beyonce. There are a lot. One thing, though, before we go, I got a job for you if you like this show, and I really hope you do. If you want to support it, we could really use your help. I know I say it every week, but I mean it. Subscribe to Intuit on your favorite podcast app. You can leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And most importantly, truly, share this show with your friends. Tell your friends about the show, like to their face, IRL. Every little bit helps.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Let's talk about Nyjah because, man, I want to write a master's thesis on this character. There's so much going on with that character, and there's so many parallels between this pop star and a pop star who exists IRL. So the whole show, the character of Dre is doing anything and everything to get close to Nyjah, to the point where she'll even kill for Nyjah. But this pop star Nyjah has a lot of similarities to Beyonce. She's got a husband who's also big in the biz. She has really expensive, hard-to-get tour tickets.
How much were those tickets? $4,000? Something like that? And that's why you couldn't make rent?
She has a sister who is also a famous singer but less popular. She has online fans called The Hive who will literally swarm on people who criticize her. This diva in the show even has twins. There's no way anyone who exists in the world right now doesn't see this character in this show and know it's in many ways about Beyonce and her fandom. That was a very bold choice. Was there any fear in doing that?
No.
Okay.
Because you gotta look at Amazon. I mean, Amazon is a corporation. The legal stuff that we did, like all of that stuff was very calculated and purposeful and thoughtful. Amazon would not have made this show if it was so one-to-one, I have to say.
It's close. I mean, like there's a scene where there's an elevator fight.
Well, when you're making a show about the culture, you have to think about where are the moments within that 2.5 year time period that culturally, as Black people with music, things broke through the noise a little bit, right?
So the biggest story around the world seems to be Jay-Z being attacked in the elevator by Beyonce's sister Solange.
And so that's the stuff that we kind of looked at. When you're telling a time period within like a very iconic point in an artist's life, you're going to be hitting like the benchmarks that people will be talking about for years and years to come, right? So like when you see something like anything in an elevator, anything, you're going to think about the moment that you saw that thing happen and where you were and who you called and who you texted and being like, oh my God, I remember exactly where I was when I saw that. It's about the feeling of being somewhere when, you know, our version of like the Berlin Wall came down or our version of like, you know what I mean? Like that was that shit was crazy.
It was real. It was real.
And so it's about that feeling and like how that moment was weaponized against so many people in that elevator, right? And like, it's just something that's just, it's never going to go away. It's like the Chris Rock, Will Smith thing. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like forever. when those two forever. Men die, when they die.
That will
die,
be the first line of the obit.
That is going to be in their obit. And that's the thing that's fucking crazy. Like, you're like, really? This nigga slapped this other nigga and now that is the shit that people are going to talk about when they talk about their deaths. Like, it's just never going to go away, right?
I also forget y'all have the bite in there, too. Y'all really did it.
Oh, my God.
So the internet is currently burning with theories about who went Hannibal Lecter on Nyjah.
Becky with the big teeth? Finna get stung.
You mess with Nyjah, you mess with a whole swarm.
Nyjah, bitch. What even think about touching Nyjah?
Whoever been Nyjah, your mom's a hub.
At any point when you're doing the elevator scene, the bite scene, the twin announcement, the tour tickets, did legal or Amazon or anyone ever say this is too close? Change it up?
The thing is, if it happens in real time, if it happens, you can write about it. You know, people are public figures. Like, you know, it's not like I can go and say Lizzo slapped me in a bar, you know, and then write about that and say, you know, because that never happens. But when things happen out in the world and you're a public person, this is not a work of fiction. Those are the first words.
That's what the episodes lead with. Yeah.
That's the first thing that you see when you look at this show. And it was cleared legally because it is not a work of fiction.
Okay.
So there you have it.
I love it. We're talking before this show hits the public. Have you at all thought of what Beyoncé fans will think and say about this show?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I just want Black people to feel seen. If you look at Dre and you see yourself, maybe call your therapist, maybe call your mama, I don't know.
Hey,
but
yeah.
I just want Black people to recognize some part of themselves, right? And that, to me, is what's really exciting. And of course, yeah, like, people might come after me. I mean, I think they're going to come after Donald, honestly, which is great because he's like, everyone knows who he is. No one knows who he is. That's great about. I'm just going to let Donald handle that. But we dealt with this on Atlanta. People are going to be, and Watchmen, people are going to be pissed. People are going to go on Rotten Tomatoes to just shit on a show because they feel obligated to do it. And that's what people do. And it's like, it's okay. I respect that. You know, like it's.
Yeah. And like, I can even almost predict what the reaction will be to this show. So one, you're right in saying that they'll go after Donald and not you. And two, the first thing they're going to say, well, of course, he hates Black women because they've said that before. And it's like, it seems as if you and him and the whole team just kind of like ignore that.
I think that's I have to say, it's a little silly to say that. I mean,
but you know people say, right? I mean, like,
you don't hate Black women if you take a Black woman that you admire and respect and give her a platform to then hire more Black women and cast incredible Black women in a show led by Black women. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's so fascinating about it, you know, because like Donald did that, like after Atlanta, like he could have gone to work with anyone in this business and he chose to work with me. You know, at the end of the day, Black women, I would hope that they watch that Black women watch this show and feel like they are seeing a part of Black femininity that they just haven't seen before. And that's interesting. And they're just like drawn to it. Cause it's interesting. Cause like there's a woman that Donald follows on Twitter. This is part of his pitch to me. And he said, there's this woman, I think she was a teacher or something. And she was like, I'm so tired of seeing Black women on TV play therapists and lawyers and doctors and people who just like have their shit together. We can be serial killers too. And
well, there you go. Here you go.
So he was like, so that was part of the pitch. Wow. And I was like, of course we can. Of course we can. And when we did our research on like Black female serial killers, there's like, there's so many of them that have fallen through the cracks, but like, maybe one comes up and you're like, damn, that's crazy. Cause they exist and they're just not seen or written about.
Episode in the show that talks about how Black women serial killers fall through the cracks.
It seems like wishful thinking. A Black female detective stumbles onto a Black female serial killer. But I've seen this before.
Seen what before?
Black women falling through the cracks.
All right, let's talk about, I said earlier that this show almost feels like an inverse of The Real World. In one of the most inverse ways that this show presents itself to me is that the Beyoncé character, Nyjah, in the show, she's dark-skinned.
Yes.
That had to be a conscious choice. What are you trying to say with that?
I said, look, I was just like, there is just no way. There's just no way. Because when you look at, again, this is also, it's very purposeful that she's dark-skinned because it also allows us to see that this is our version of a real world, because you don't see a woman that's Noreen's color that is at the level of stardom that Rihanna is at. That, as like a R&B pop superstar, does not exist currently in our space. And so that was very, very purposeful on my part, on Donald's part. And I'm really proud of that. I'm really, really proud of that, because I feel like, again, it's not so one-to-one. And if people get mad at that, then that is on them. That is on them. Man. That is like some real shit. If you're really getting mad at the fact that this woman is dark-skinned,
you have a problem, like, and first being of
like,
all.
There's no way that that would happen. Like, boom, that is your problem.
Yeah. So I had a thought. I had a thought. I want to say episode 4 or 5. I was like, yo, it would have been a trip if they had Kelly Rowland play Nyjah. It would have been a trip. That's all. Anywho, it's not a question, just an observation.
It's so crazy. That is so crazy. Very meta.
Fox Creative.
This is advertiser content from 26.2 Team Milk and their new docuseries, Running Sucks.
Is running the worst?
Yeah.
Do you love it? Do you hate it?
I hate it so much. I hate it so freaking much.
That you're a real runner now!
I hate it.
I'm Abby Ayers, a 37-year-old mom from Utah who found herself running across the Manhattan Bridge in my first race ever.
Running Sucks celebrates women who run and the running communities that carry them across the finish line.
Running helped me in so many ways postpartum.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
For every person like you, I'm telling you, you belong, and I'm telling you, you can do it.
I never thought the words would leave my mouth, but yes, I'm planning on running a marathon. I can't even say it without laughing, because, like, who would have thought?
Watch Running Sucks at runningsucktheseries.com and learn more about how Team Milk is helping women runners across the country conquer their next course.
Eurovision is here. This year's contest gets underway this week in Malmö, Sweden. But this year's contest comes with a dose of controversy. I'll give you one guess as to what people are mad about. Yes, correct. It's that.
Organizers of the Eurovision Song Contest say they are assessing whether Israel's entry breaks the rules on political neutrality.
I think it's a shame. I think there's no way that Israel should be able to participate in
Eurovision. Pro-Palestinian protesters are taking to the Swedish streets. More than 1,000 Swedish artists, including Robin, have called for an Israel ban. Some European politicians are joining them. Charlie Harding from Switched On Pop joins us this week on Today Explained to help us figure out if Europe can sing its way out of this situation.
I am assuming you're a big Beyoncé fan, and I'm wondering if making this show at all changed the way you think about your fandom and how you're a fan of Beyoncé.
You know, I have a complicated relationship with Beyoncé, actually. You know, I grew up a very particular, you know, I was a nerd. And I always respected her music. Yeah, I would cut class to see her at times, but like I never saw myself in her for obvious reasons. You know what I'm saying? Kelly, sure, I saw a little bit of myself in Kelly because she's a dark-skinned woman, you know? And so, like, I have, like, a very, you know, it wasn't until I got older when I really started to feel a little bit more, like, connected to her as a woman, you know? As, like, I think when she kind of started to come into her own and get married and, like, have children, like, that's when I really started to kind of see her as, like, someone who felt connected to, you know, where we've kind of had a little bit more of that kind of connection as, like, just Black women in this space of a world, you know? And so I think working on this project has brought me, I think, definitely, like, closer in the world of being a fan. But I wouldn't say that I'm a diehard super fan of.
I'm a diehard. I'm a diehard. Yeah. And let me tell you, by the end of this show, I was like, Sam, look in the mirror. Work on yourself. You have, like, you are just as bad as Dre in some respects. Like, literally, there was a moment in the show where Dre's character is imagining being plucked out of the crowd by the Beyoncé character Nyjah, and then ending up being, like, held and comforted.
And she gives me a big hug, and it feels like the longest hug I ever had. And she says, I feel like I know you. Like we've always known each other.
And I said to myself, oh my God, Sam, you want that too. You may not be a serial killer, but you want that too. No lie, I got tickets to go to this Renaissance World Tour, and I have been thinking and talking with my friends about what to wear so that Beyoncé notices me and maybe pulls me up on stage and talks to me. I'm Dre. And I think this whole show was just telling someone like me, a Beyoncé super fan, I don't know. Check yourself. Have I been a toxic fan at some points? Yeah. Have I said mean things to strangers on the internet to protect Beyoncé? Yeah. It's like, yeah, there's some Dre in me. There's some Dre in me. And that felt weird to say to myself watching this show, but I guess say it.
I actually do think about the day that I would meet someone like a Beyoncé and just like really hoping that there is some recognition. You do come from the same city. We went to the same high school. We know some of the same people. You know what I mean? Like, there is this thing of like, girl, I don't know you, but I do know you, you know? And so like, there is this sense of like, oh, well, I wonder, like, if I am in a room, could I go to her and say, oh yeah, Aileef girl, blah, blah, blah. You know, would she even, you know, like that's like a real thing. Right. And I feel that way with Donald a little bit and like protecting him, you know what I mean? Because I
really,
you know, because like he's the closest thing that I know to that personally, like on a personal like very grounded, real level.
Huh.
Someone that you idolized and meeting that person and like having a real connection to that. Like that's like a, that's a story. That's like a, that's an evolution. Wow. Right.
Yeah.
And like, you do want to protect that person at all costs. So like, I feel very protective of him as like a friend and as a Black woman and person and collaborator. That's the thing. If he weren't Childish Gambino, would that be the same? I'd be like, who's this nigga? Mm. Like, this is my show. Like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Have you met Beyonce? Be for real.
No, I've never met her.
Well, that needs to change.
I know. I think every single person in that writer's room, maybe with the exception of with Karen, has met her, which is crazy.
Wait, really?
I'm like, yes. I would say all of them have met her. Yes. It's crazy.
Has she seen the show?
I think she has, actually. Yeah, she knows about the show. People okay. who are in the orbit of Donald know yeah. about yeah. this show. Like, you yeah. know, you Google Donald and Beyonce, they hang out like legit. They are friends.
Wait, so really?
If Beyonce has wished someone a happy birthday on her website,
they're actually friends.
She is actual friends with them. And she has done that with Donald. So, like,
also,
friends.
Sidebar, Beyonce wishing people happy birthday on her website is so auntie. I love it. It's so auntie.
So auntie.
Have you heard at all Beyonce's reaction to Swarm?
I will say this. Donald obviously has a relationship with her. And then I wrote her a letter just basically being like, yo, you're great. I love you. This is a show that we're working on. These are the people that are writing on it. She's worked with a lot of the people who have worked on our show. You know, it's a family. This is not a crusade to tear down anyone's reputation. This is a love letter to Black women. And I know it's extreme, and I know that our character is doing a lot of crazy shit, but
she's out here killing. She's a Black woman serial killer.
I know, but it's like she is we've been building towards this moment for a character like this. She is the character that I think I've really wanted to write for such a long time. Just this Black woman who is so profoundly settled in her ideology. And just gives zero fucks and is just going to get the job done.
You know, this show made me ask a lot of questions of myself and of the culture. What is the question you most hope viewers leave this show with? Because you don't leave with too many answers. What is the question you most hope people take away from this show?
Will there be more shows like this in the world? And hopefully the answer is yes. I'm saying this as humbly as possible. I really want this show to start a movement for Black people who are writers coming up to feel unafraid to tackle any subject matter and tell it in as punk a way as possible. I remember watching Shonda Rhimes shows and being like, damn, that woman is Black and she's doing that. You know, I mean, people can ask whatever they want about this show, but I think you want people to have a conversation of like, how did they get that made?
Are you going to the Renaissance World Tour?
I am. I'm flying to Chicago this summer.
I'm flying to London, girl. I'm flying to London.
You're flying across the pond. Look at you.
Like a
That's
fool.
Impressive.
No, like a fool. She's taking all my money.
Good for you, honestly, because this is, I think it's an incredible album. I'm really excited to celebrate it.
Oh my goodness. I gotta say, Janine, watching this show was truly an experience and a treat. Thank you for doing this. And yes, to your question, more of these shows, please. More.
Thank you. This has been an honor to be on this podcast. I'm a huge fan of your work, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks again to Swarm co-creator Janine Neighbors. Go watch it. Seriously, I swear you won't stop thinking about it. And I promise you've probably never seen anything like this show before. All right, Intuit is hosted by me, Sam Sanders. The show is produced by Janae West, Travis Larchuk, Gabi Grossman, Jelani Carter, and Taka Zinn. Our fearless editor is Jordana Hochman. Our engineer is Daniel Turek. Our music is composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. And Hannah Rosen is the head of audio at New York Magazine. Listeners, we are back on Friday with a brand new episode. Till then, and I mean this, go watch Swarm.